You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Melissa Gilbert is the author of Back to the Prairie, A Home Remade, A Life Rediscovered. Melissa starred as Laura Ingalls on the hit television show Little House on the Prairie, which, by the way, I must have seen every single episode of the show growing up. I, like, never missed one. I would bathe during commercials. This was, like, my childhood favorite. She has starred in numerous movies and served 2 terms as president of the Screen Actors Guild. She is the author of Prairie Tale, Daisy and Josephine, and My Prairie Cookbook. She resides in the Catskills in New York City with her husband, Timothy Busfield. Back to the Prairie is her latest book. Welcome, Melissa. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss.
Thank you.
Back to the Prairie. So exciting. Me. A home remade, a life rediscovered. It was so great. It was so great to, like, get inside your head and hear your whole story. Really, it was amazing. It was told in such an approachable, like, conversational way that I just felt like I was chatting with a friend or something like that. So I don't know if that was your intention, but it was very successful. If so.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. You know, it's interesting because this is sort of the beginning of promoting it for me. So I haven't really talked to a lot of people who've read it who are not relatives. Yes. So I'm really enjoying hearing how people are reacting to it. And I love hearing your reaction to it. I love that you felt like you were talking with a friend, because that was sort of the whole idea, was to, you know, give us all that feeling of community. And that, you know, that's sort of why I wrote it. So we didn't all feel like we were so incredibly alone, even though we thought we really were. We weren't.
Right.
And we aren't.
True. So thank you for that. It was so funny too, as I was reading, I'm on my second marriage and I was hearing all about your marriages and all of that. And I was, like, relating to this and that. And I was like, I have the same herniated disc.
Oh, L5, no.
S1, you know, but then of course you had a lot more, stuff, but, yeah. Anyway, preaching to the choir here.
Yes.
Actually, to be honest, your health stuff and all your pain that your body has gone through, I was really taken aback. I mean, that is a lot to have to deal with. Maybe you could talk just a little bit about even like falling on the stage and all the surgery,
yeah.
All the stuff. It's so much.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And it's like a running joke in my family and with my friends that, you know, most people get a splinter or they get a cold. I don't. I get something massive or I get pneumonia. I'm knocking wood right now. Did not get COVID yet. I have not yet to have it. But I definitely like have weird accidents and strange injuries that turn into something really massive. And my spine has been a real problem. I've injured my C-spine, my neck so many times. And, I've had to deal with herniated discs and then ultimately surgery and then a surgery that failed, as you read in my book, and then the surgery during COVID where I had to fly cross country to get it all repaired. And then I broke my back too, doing the musical version of Little House on the Prairie, which I write about. And I sort of feel like dealing with chronic pain, which I don't anymore. I don't have any pain at the moment. And I haven't since November of 2020, dealing with chronic pain has just been a part of my existence and for a very long time and who I am. And I think, well, there's a couple of things that are good about that is I definitely have an empathy and sympathy for people who are in any kind of pain, especially chronic pain, and a real understanding of, and this ties into what happened with my father, which I wrote about. Yeah. My father was in chronic pain and no one was helping him. And he kept saying, I wish I were dead. I wish I were dead. And nobody did anything. And he chose to end his own life. I have chosen repeatedly now throughout the course of my life to get through the pain and live with the pain or get through the pain and fix it somehow. And I've been lucky enough to have had a number of physicians, physical therapists, surgeons, and nurses in my life who have helped me to achieve that. So right now, like today, before I saw you, I was running on a treadmill.
Wow.
Which is, considering all the bits and parts and surgeries and stuff and all the spine stuff is kind of phenomenal. And I did it with ease and comfort. And I'm finally in a place where my body is starting to betray me a little because it's getting harder to get it moving. She's not so young no more. But I feel really healthy and strong at the same time. So, whereas people really start to begin, I think at my age, which is almost 58 years old, I think people really start to feel the aches and pains of aging. I'm actually in a place where I'm not feeling a lot of pain because I had all the pain before. So this is kind of like my lovely salad days. I'm really enjoying my life and I like to go to the gym and get on the treadmill and I like to dance around the living room and I like to do yoga and I can do these things and not have it be burdensome or painful, which is great.
Next thing you know, you'll be skydiving. I mean, who knows what's coming next?
No, you know what? I have reached a conclusion about that. I have skydiving relatives, and I've just decided that there's no reason for me to do that this lifetime. There really is no reason. I'm not a fan of heights, and I'm also not a fan of flying. And so those are like the two things. I don't understand why anyone would willingly jump out of a plane. It doesn't make any sense to me. So there's no reason.
Yeah.
No reason.
I'm in the same boat. Well, boat versus plane, I guess. But yes,
you're in the same plane.
I'd rather be in a boat than a plane.
Me too. I might do a zip line, but yeah. I don't think I will ever bungee jump I know I'm never going bungee jumping and I'm never jumping out of a plane. There's just no reason for it.
There were all these things when I was younger and I was like, you never know. I might go here. I might go on this trip. I might do this. And now I'm like, I'm actually not going to do that.
I think I'm just going to play it safe and live longer.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, you also address a lot in the book your relationship with your body aging and beauty and skincare and what you have decided, which is to stop with all the stuff that your LA life required or that you felt it required with the fillers and the this and the that and trying to mask what was actually going on, which is normal aging, and that you, it, part of what you've adopted in this new phase of life with your wonderful husband and your love affair, which is so nice to read about, is just being your total authentic self and not filling anything except for your soul, I would say. So
that's 100% right. That's 100% right. And I love that you put it that way. That's genius. That I really have consciously decided at this point in my life, I'm going to fill my soul and not my cheeks.
You can steal it. Go ahead. It's fine.
I just love that. And it's true. I don't, you know, this is the latter third of my life, and I don't have time for a lot of things. And one of the things I don't have time for, nor the desire to do, is keep trying to fight the inevitable. I don't want to fight, period. Generally, I mean, I will fight for things that I really believe in, but I don't want to fight something that's so organic and natural as aging. It just seems like a no win, first of all, because it's going to happen. And, I don't have the time to devote to going constantly to the dermatologist and worrying about, I have no desire to be that person anymore. I would much rather spend my time surrounded by people that I love, whom I love, who I want to be around. I don't even have time for what my sister calls tiny talk. I don't even have time like for hovering cocktail party talk. If we're not going to get into a deep conversation about meaningful things or just laugh our heads off, then I don't have time for getting to know you stuff anymore.
That should really be. You should host a podcast. Moms don't have time to get to know other people or something.
Do you know what I mean? Moms don't have time to get to know anybody, even themselves, really. I spent so much of my life when my kids were home, just nose to the grindstone, just getting up every day and going through, whether I was working or not working, just the constant dealing with someone else's life and working on their schedules and my schedules and getting people to activities and making sure people had food and went to their dentist appointments and the orthodontist appointments and doing their homework and all of that stuff that I feel like now, selfishly too, this is a little bit my time now. And I didn't even have that before I had kids because I was working. So now I'm very choosy about what I do with my time.
And your grandmother, which is so exciting. Congratulations.
I will tell you now that it is 100% the primary reason to have children. Tim and I with our grandkids, and we've got another one coming imminently, any minute, a little girl here in New York too. So
yay.
We finally have one nearby. But we have been grandparents now a few times over, and we've had the grandkids, and we don't have kids together. So we didn't get to do all of that together, but now we get to do the absolutely best part of it, where we get to have these little people in our lives and feed them and hold them and change them and love them and then give them back and go to sleep at the end of the day and not worry about it. And also, you know, we've been through stitches and heartbreaks and bullying. And I mean, all the things you can go through with kids, and then the teenage stuff, car accidents and arrests. And I mean, you can't even imagine. That's why my hair is gray. And we're so relaxed now. There's nothing that phases us. I mean, we had never changed diapers before we were with baby Ripley, my son Dakota and his wife Marissa's daughter in Texas last summer. We hadn't done that yet. And it was seamless. Just here, you hold this, here, you hold that, here, I got it, you know. And then we had them staying with us overnight, and we let my daughter-in-law sleep. So Tim and I took the night shift. So I was up from 1 a.m. to 4, and he was up from 4 to 7. And then they left, and we just, you know, we were in a coma, but we did it, and it was easy. And I wasn't, you know, as nervous, you know, I'm not as nervous with my grandchildren as I was with my children.
Yeah.
You know, so she doesn't go down in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So
I have 4 kids. I feel like that's how I am with my fourth kid. I was like, you're fine. It's all good.
I had a friend in New York when I first lived here in the 80s, when my first son was born, when Dakota was born, who had 3 kids. She was my neighbor. And she said, the first child is an experiment. The second child is to keep the first child busy. And the third one is all yours. Now, I don't know if she went any further than that, but then fourth is just becomes like, I don't know, that's like a puppy.
Yeah. Actually, as you were talking, my husband, we don't have children together either, but we do have a dog. And sometimes it's like, who's going to take it out? And every so often I'm like, there could be a lot of friction here, right? Like we could be fighting about this, but like there's no friction at all. How nice is that? You know, it's just there's no counting who did this when. It's just like, oh, are you going to take her? Am I going to take her? I don't know.
Yeah. We just did the same. We have a puppy. We've had a puppy for a month now, and Tim's going home to let her out of her crate and give her lunch. It's just what we do. We just trade off. We don't even, there's not even a discussion. You got it? I got it. Okay, great. Easy. Yeah.
I think anyone who's been in more complicated relationships can appreciate the simplicity of a handoff. Like so
there
much.
Is nothing better than simplicity too. It really is highly underrated.
Yes. By the way, speaking of simplicity and like buying this house that you got in the woods and stripping it down and the little mice in the bed and like all this stuff, this is like literally getting back to basics. And it's so crazy too, because as a child, I'm sure you hear this all the time, so I won't go into it, but you know, I used to watch Little House on the Prairie. And so it's just so perfect that now I'm meeting with you and you like literally have recreated this fictitious world by going back onto the land again and like stripping everything down to basics. Tell me though about the demo and the construction. I mean, I could not believe you were doing all this stuff yourself. I was like, where is the reality show on this? This is what I want to watch.
Right. I think it's coming actually.
Oh, really?
We'll keep our fingers crossed. There's some conversations. Happening.
Oh, good. Good.
But don't expect any Martha Stewartness out of this. I am the imperfect, contractor / crafter / chef. Everything I make, create, do is great, but flawed. So it'll never be. There's no way I'm going to teach anybody to do this. But we had moved to New York and we were living in the city. And then we knew we needed to have some space. And we both loved the Catskills. We'd both been up here. So we started exploring and we found this little hunting cabin. It was, as I write in the book, the price was 100% right. We knew we were going to put some money into it. And we did that, hiring people and bringing in, you know, but on a budget. And it was going to be the place where if we ever did have chickens, maybe someday it could be there. Or if we ever did really plant a garden, someday it could be there. And we talked about it all the time. And then March 13th was Friday the 13th, 2020. We came up here to escape and it just kept going on and on and on and on. And then, you know, like everybody else, we're hearing people are freaking out about toilet paper and they're freaking out about paper towels and they're talking about the food supply chains and, you know, the factories and the meat packing plants. People are getting sick and they're shutting down. And what are we going to eat? And then we finally said, you know what, if we're going to have a garden and chickens, now's the time. It made perfect sense. And now it's like, you know, it's second nature to us. I was up this morning with the chickens and yesterday I did the big spring cleaning in the coop. And I have gone back to the prairie, but I do vacuum the coop with a shop vac.
Okay.
So it's not, I mean, I scoop as much as I can, but then I get in there with shop vac in the spring just to give it a really good clean. So I don't think they had that back in the 1800s, but it is very much... It feels very much like how I grew up on the set, not in my own life.
Right.
But it, you know, there were chickens and horses and cows out there and it was dusty and dirty and there were chores that needed to be done. And I really wanted to learn how to do all of those things. And that's why I loved being on that set so much. So it's very much the same thing now at home. I just, you know, I build my own fire. I don't have a special effects guy to do it for me, which is probably good. Because he was missing fingers.
Oh, gosh. That's not what you want to see in a special effects room.
Luke Tillman. And I love him dearly. But yes, he was missing fingers.
Oh, my gosh.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Today's episode has been sponsored by J. McLaughlin. J. McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with J. McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have J. McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through J. McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to J. McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at J. McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. J. McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital Z-I-B-B-Y 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z-ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, J. McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hey, grown-ups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Well, I feel like it's also interesting as you get older, like what actually feels like home, right? Like what, maybe it's not where you actually live. Maybe it is where you worked. Maybe it is, right? There are different places and sentiments and things that you feel more comfortable in. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
And another thing that I loved too, that I don't think a lot of people talk about, or I certainly haven't read enough about, is what the realities are, even financially, of the entertainment business and how there are all these assumptions that like everything is fine and you'll just like never have to think about money again the rest of your life because of XYZ for both you and your husband. And you really go into it and explain what it's like and how, you know, what's happened and how a divorce can change your setup with, you know, I found that fascinating to read about and just so important so that other readers can just see what it's really like and not assume anything just because.
Yeah, I think the assumption is that, you know, we all know each other. Everybody in the entertainment industry who has any recognition knows each other. They all hang out together and they all make the same amount of money. Some people are a little more famous than others. Some people do movies, some people do television. But that's why, you know, everybody, so many people, athletes and people will go, no, I'm acting now. I'm going to be an actor now. Well, you know, you can't just be an actor. And it's not only is it a craft, but it's a business. And the majority of the people in our business across the board in all categories are gig workers. We make money when we're working. And unless we're working on a long-term show like Little House on the Prairie was, which I have not done since Little House on the Prairie. This is almost 50 years ago. I worked on a series for 9 years, almost 50 years ago. I've gone from job to job to job to job. And there are times where the jobs come fast and furious. I'd do, you know, there was in the 90s, I would do 5 movies of the week in a year. And that was great. And things were cushy. And my husband at the time was on a television series. So everything was good. And we had a big house and, you know, we took vacations. But that's not the reality now. The jobs have gotten further and fewer and further in between for a woman of a certain age. My husband works constantly, but he's got an ex-wife. He's got debts. He's got bills. He's got kids. He's still paying off student loans. And salary compression's a real thing. So we're comfortable. We're safe. We own our house up here. And we've managed. But the reality is we have to watch our budget like normal people do. And, you know, as I said in the book, I got in some trouble several years ago, right at the same time that I got divorced from my second husband, from Bruce. At that same time, we sold a house that the bubble had burst, and we sold 2 houses, and it was like getting in debt and getting in debt and getting in debt. And I ended up having to work with the IRS because I had back taxes, a huge amount of back taxes. So I had to work with them to figure out a payment plan. So now that's, you know, the money comes in, but it goes to the IRS first, and it's manageable. But I can't tell you the last time we went on an actual vacation, which is, it's fine though. We're comfortable. We're safe. We're healthy. We have medical insurance. I can't complain. We get in the car. We do a lot of driving. We drive to Texas to see the kids. We drive to California to see the kids. And I'm completely happy. I don't need a lot of fancy stuff and fancy meals and all of that. I'm really happy with my life. I'm most happy in my Barca lounger with my knitting.
I love that. Who knew? You know, all these, it goes back to what you were saying before. It's like fighting. Why, like, where are we going to direct our energy? What is it for? Like, what do we need all the energy for? Can we just be happy with what we have? Maybe we need a lot less than we think we do.
Right? I think we learned how little we really need when we were all scrambling for toilet paper.
Yeah. Yes. Well said.
Yeah.
What was it like writing the book?
It was an absolute joy. It just sort of, this one sort of poured out, mostly because it's really focused primarily on the last 2 years. So the memories were pretty clear. Although a lot of the dates ran together as I was looking back because COVID, no one knew what day it was. Yeah. I just knew which pajamas I had been in and for how long. I think I've been wearing these for 2 weeks. I think it's time to change. It was very fresh, but it was also a very joyful experience because I've come from a place now of here we are. Those of us who, and my heart obviously goes out to the hundreds and thousands of people who lost loved ones and children who lost parents and, you know, all of the people who died and of course to the healthcare workers and the first responders who have done such an incredible job and continue to, but essentially, as of now, we made it through that. And there are reasons we did that. We made it through because we really do at our core care about each other. We really do at our core believe in community. We really missed one another. Did we come out of it being kinder? Not necessarily. The political climate, I think, enabled us to become even a little more siloed and vicious. So I think we're still learning how to be nice to each other now that we're back looking in each other's faces again for now. But we did make it through. And just like our forefathers and mothers made it through plagues and not having electricity and, you know, all of the hardships they endured settling this country and others and back and back and back and back. So I think it proves how resilient we are. So to me, that's a joyful thing.
Totally. Do you want to write more? Like, is this, do you want to keep going? Yeah.
Yeah. I have other things to write that are not autobiographical for sure. I mean, this is my 4th book. So I've written a children's book and I wrote the cookbook and my first autobiography, which I don't like. I really don't. I was in such a weird, bad place when I wrote that book. And I didn't know the truth about my father's passing. So it felt disingenuous when I found out. I thought, that book, it's just based on a lie, though it was not my lie. But, and it was very much too much of a kiss and telly. Ugh, I don't like that book. But I have other books. I have an idea for a novel that I've been working on, kind of. So we'll see. I don't know. You never know. There's so much to do. We'll see.
And what about reading? Are you reading anything good now?
I am. Right now, I'm into Mary Roach's books. I don't know if you've ever read her. I just finished Stiff. Okay. So now I'm reading Bonk. And I have Gulp. And I have Grunt. And I have Gulp, Grunt. And I have Spirit on deck. So
awesome.
I'm really enjoying Bonk. It's a very interesting look at this, the people who studied in the study of human sexuality.
Very,
very interesting. And Stiff was fascinating and funny. She's very, very funny. So I'm reading nonfiction at the moment.
Very cool. Okay. I'll have to check it out. Okay. Last question. Do you have any advice to aspiring artists of any kind? I was going to say authors because in this capacity, you're an author, but really in any capacity, people who feel like giving up or they're never going to make it, or, you know, it's just the weighing on them or the rejection or any of it. What inspiring words can you share?
I would say that, the most important thing really, and it's hard to do, is to, create your art for yourself and have it do the best you can to have it not matter what other people think, which is really hard to do, especially when you put it out there like this book. It's the books for me more than film or television or, any projects I do at home, feel like sending my babies out into the world, because they come from such an intimate place, especially the autobiographical ones. So it's very hard for me. I don't want people to bully them and be mean to them. I'm perfectly prepared for people to not like it. There's some political stuff I think people will object to in this book, which is fine. We all don't all have to agree. But I think it's really important for artists to just compete with themselves, to try and be better than they were the time before, to try and perfect their art and get better at it, or to deepen it, or to explore in it more. But really, the goal is to detach from what other people think. That's hard, but it's really important to do, because art is really, it's very personal. And if you're just doing it for yourself, I think you stay a lot healthier than, you know, being crazy worrying about what other people think.
I mean, I feel like that's the through line in the message of your whole book, really. Right?
Yeah. Well, and you can't please everybody. You really can't. And there's no reason to try. I tried for a really long time. I if you look up people pleaser in the dictionary, there's a picture of 9-year-old me. I did everything everyone asks me to do. I sacrificed my own well-being for decades and decades and decades. And it got me nowhere, ultimately. It got me into the therapy is what it did. So there you go.
Well, this has been so amazing. And I'm not even kidding. If you have any interest, I have this whole podcast network where I'm launching all these new shows. So I feel like you would be so great at doing a podcast. If you have any interest. That's anyway, whatever. We can talk about
it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yet another venue.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was great chatting with you.
It was so great chatting with you too. I hope I get to do it again soon.
Thank you. You too. We'll write another
book. All right. I'll write another book and I'll see you then.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @withZibbyandTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.